Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 99702 pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of John, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. Well, praise God for the opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and remind you and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom, shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Proverbs. And we're going to continue our teaching on the subject, the importance of understanding. Once again, the importance of understanding. So if you found Proverbs 4, please go to verse number 7. Again, that's Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 7. And it says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding." Amen. Now, we are encouraged by the word of God to get wisdom because it is the principal thing, the first in rank, in order, and in position. But in all our getting, we are told that we should get understanding. You can have wisdom and not necessarily have understanding of the situation. Wisdom is primarily wise in mind and good judgment. You don't necessarily need to understand what is going on to make good decisions or judgments. You can make a lot of wise decisions just by observing the mutual relations or connections between two or more things. Now, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. It is a wise decision to wear gloves when you are handling strong assets. You make this decision because you've seen what happens when acid gets accidentally splashed on people's hands. But you can still make this decision even if you don't understand anything about chemistry, about pH, or about how acid attacks the skin, or how anything about what is happening at a molecular level. You can still make wise decisions at a personal level, even though you don't understand what is going on fundamentally. But if you have both the wisdom and the understanding, that gives you a leg up on the competition in terms of your knowledge and your understanding regarding any subject. Remember, understanding is divine comprehension in your heart that gives you the ability to repeat something at will. Whatever you understand, you can repeat it over and over again, even under pressure. Now, please turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Again, that's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of the truth." Amen. Now, the original version of the King James Bible says to study, which means the devotion of time and attention to acquiring knowledge on an academic subject. See, when you study, you're taking time. You're devoting time away, and you're studying a certain academic subject. Our subject of study or diligence is on the understanding of God's word. So the word is telling us to study so we can show ourselves proved unto God. Not to man, not to your wife, your mother, your sister, your brother, but to God. Amen. And then once we study, we are approved. And then we're not ashamed because we are rightly dividing the word of truth. That means we understand God's word. See, no man needs to be a failure. No man needs to be a failure today. The wisdom of God is at our disposal, and the presence of his understanding can be achieved if we just spend time in his word. Amen. God says, "If you will draw near to me, then I will draw nigh to you." So we have to spend time with the Heavenly Father in his word to understand the hidden truths of his word so we can get that understanding. Now, please turn with me to the book of Joshua chapter 1. Again, Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to read verse number 8. And it says, "This book of the law, or the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Now see, the word is telling us that we should study and meditate in the word of God day and night. So that means we need to take time out to study. It says, and once we've done that, then we need to do according to all that is written in it. Study and then act. And then it says, for then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. It didn't say God will give you good success. It says you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. See, understanding will lay dormant in you until you begin to study and meditate on the Word of God daily. Christians who do not seek God's wisdom and understanding are unstable, inconsistent, and frustrated for a lack of understanding. Frustration is the cornerstone for their lack of understanding. Understanding is one of the many gifts given to the body of Christ. Now let's look at how this gift was given to one of God's men. All right? And this was the story of Solomon, the son of King David. So go to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. And let's see how this gift was given. And we're going to read verses 9 through 12. And it begins, "Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall any like you arise after you." So we see here Solomon, God had asked him, "What is it that I could give you?" And Solomon asked for understanding, and God granted it to him. God gave Solomon his request. He was still at a time where the people of Israel was stiff-necked and it was an emerging nation. And Solomon was still a child. The gift of understanding was given to him because God knew he was going to need that gift to give good advice to the children of Israel. Amen. Solomon was only 12 years old when he became king and was given the gift of understanding. So parents, do not be quick to refuse your children's requests for something you might consider advanced for them simply because they're young. Remember, if we go back to the beginning in the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it refers to all of God's creation, young and old. Amen. And God is not a respecter of people. What he does for one, he's obligated by his word to do for the other. That person only has to be a willing vessel to receive what God has for them. Amen. Now turn with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. And we're going to read verse number 6. And it says this, "For the Lord God gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." It says, "For the Lord gives wisdom." So wisdom comes from the Lord. And from his mouth, or from his words, comes knowledge and understanding. The Lord gives us divine wisdom. And from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. His divine wisdom has provided us with the spiritual ability to live a godly life and the understanding of our place in him and his place in us. Understanding who we are, what we have and what we can do gives us the privilege and the right to use the name of Jesus. See, we have the right to use the name of Jesus. And another reason is because we understand what it means to use the name of Jesus. Because you see, the way God sees it is the way we see it. The way God does it is the way we do it. The way God says it is the way we see it. And the results God gets is the same results we should get because we understand. Now let's look at a couple of examples in the Word of God that we should look at and examine and study. And it tells us the truth of that statement. Because the way God sees it is the way we should see it. The way God says it is the way we should see it. And the way God does it is the way we should do it. And the results God gets is the results we should get. So let's go to the book of Acts chapter 19. And we're going to look at some people who didn't have the understanding of God's word. And they attempted to use God's word in their lives. And let's see what happened to them. So Acts, beginning with chapter 19, verse number 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. And he went into the synagogues and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and they did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitudes, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now God, who worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now here we go. We're going to look at now where some Jewish exorcists attempted to use the word of God, but they didn't have any understanding of who they are, what they had, and what they can do. Verse 13. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists, or these were Jews exorcists that went from town to town. They were literally nomads. Took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." They attempted to use Jesus' name as if they were Paul. Also, there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" So these evil spirits spoke back to these 7 sons of Sceva and said, "Wait a minute, who are you? We know Paul and we know Jesus, but who are you? Then the men in whom the evil spirits was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. So these evil spirits jumped on them because they attempted to use the name of Jesus that Paul spoke. And they didn't have the understanding. They didn't know who they were. They didn't know what they had, and they didn't know what they can do in Christ Jesus. They did not have the privilege or the right to use the name of Jesus. Verse 17, this became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Because of what happened, Jesus' name was magnified. Amen. And many who had believed became believers, confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. And so we see here that these itinerant Jews that attempted to use the name of Jesus, they had no understanding. They couldn't use the name of Jesus. They had no understanding. They didn't have the privilege or the right to use the name of Jesus. And they got beat up and got ran out of town naked. Amen. Now let's go. We're going to look at the people who had the authority and the right to use the name of the Jesus. But those itinerant Jews did not. They had a lack of understanding. And that lack of understanding will eventually cause a hindrance to your faith. So now let's go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And we're going to read verses 17 and 18. And it says this, and this is Jesus speaking. It says, and these signs will follow those who believe. It says, in my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues, and they will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Amen. Now turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And we're going to read verses 12 through 14. Again, this is Jesus speaking. And he says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So we see one instance where you have these Jews trying to use the name of Jesus, and they had no understanding what they're doing. They did not have the right or the privilege to use the name of Jesus. And then we see where Jesus gave the believers, those who believe, he gave them the right. And he told them, he says, in my name, you cast out demons, and you will speak with new tongues, and you will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will not harm them. And then he told them, he says, you know what? He who believes in me, he says, the works that I do, you will also do, and greater works than these you will do, because he went to the Father. But let me ask a question. Jesus says, greater works we will do. Well, you can't top raising the dead. Jesus raised the dead. How are we going to do greater works than that? So what was Jesus speaking about in regards to the greater works? We have to know and understand what he was telling us. Well, we got to remember, when Jesus walked the earth, he was confined to just one geographical area in the region of Palestine. And that was a limited area. And Jesus was only one person. So he only can minister or had contact with that amount of people. His people was limited. But because there are many of us today who understand our place in him and his place in us, where we are able to preach and, more importantly, teach the word worldwide to more people, so the greater works would be the conversion of thousands of more people, because we are able to do this work because Christ is with the Father and he has sent the Holy Spirit to empower us to accomplish his work. And that power only can be accomplished because we have taken time to study God's word. There is something in us that the Holy Spirit can bring out in us in the time of need. See, understanding can affect your acting on the word of God. Amen. Well, you know what? I am just about out of time for today's message, but please join us next week when we will continue our teaching on the importance of understanding, because it is so important that we understand the word of God. But until then, I want you to please remember these words from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It simply says this: for we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.